to you for all that you've done, to thank you for your leading in our lives. And we just thank you for your great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn in your new hymnals, we're going to sing page 58, He Leadeth Me. Oh, blessed thought.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me.
Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 30. I'd like us to read together Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. It would also be up on the board there, but you can use, I think, in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 645, if you wanted to go there. But Proverbs 30, reading together verses 7 through 9. Reading together. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Interesting reminder and challenge in that words of wisdom, of the dangers that come with poverty or wealth, and how we respond in those circumstances. In a similar way, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as Israel's getting ready to enter the promised land, we have some warnings, instructions that the Lord gives to his people. He is challenging them as they go into the land and all that he's going to do for them. But Deuteronomy 8, I'll be reading verses 10 through 18. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Those kind of give a little background to the lesson we'll give in 2 Kings today from the life of Hezekiah.
You can turn your hymnals again to page 69. These are the new ones, or the words will be on the screen.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As a day's thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord. A face sweet consolation, offer me within thy holy. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, and to take as from the Father's hand, one by one, the days and moments fleeting, till I reach the crown of his hand.
So time for our prayer and praise. I don't Is this David? Is this mic on? If you have anything you'd like to share for us to pray about, any praises, any needs, now's the time.
My dad's still in the hospital healing up, and he could be there for a while. It depends. He just needs to be able to use the restroom before he goes. And then my mom was feeling a lot better yesterday. Dave Mensah and his family stopped by and saw her, and she seemed to be much more energetic and felt better overall and ate a little bit more than usual, which was great. But the plan is to get her a special kind of stent that needs to be ordered. She hopes it'll be in by Tuesday or Wednesday because the doctors that does that particular surgery is only there Tuesday and Wednesday, and she doesn't want to be there any longer than she needs to. So I would say that's the biggest thing, is just that would get in on those dates, and hopefully that will stop all the draining. She was draining a lot less into those bags than she has been in the past, which is huge. Blessing to her. But yeah, that's the latest update. So
Ed.
Yeah, I finally got a date to see the spine surgeon December 30th. So I pray to hurry that up and get it before that.
Okay. That's your grandpa Daryl. Yeah.
He's got an appointment August 11th with the surgeon to schedule surgery. Praise the Lord for safe travel for Amy and Brian, and their family came through from Virginia last night, and we've got more coming, and I know Strines have some coming, and David's family made it through safe. I just think all the times we're out there on the highway and we get to thinking it's our good driving. Well, it's the Lord.
In spite of our...
Yes.
Yes. Yep. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together to worship you and praise you for the things that you have done. We are reminded from the songs we have sung of that it is you who sustains us, that you carry us through. And we're reminded of that as we think about family that have traveled to visit. We're so blessed by the convenience of modern travel, Lord, and we take it for granted. But even in the midst of the ease of travel, there is still your protecting hand that is over us, and we thank you for that. We praise you for it. Praise you along with Cheryl that she is able to be back in church again and to see the kids that she works with, to see them growing and worshiping you together with us, and just the joy that is for everybody. We pray for Tom and this tough journey that he's on of so many physical challenges, and we pray for his continued healing. We pray for his continued encouragement in the midst of difficulty, Lord. We pray that you would continue to walk with him and encourage him and help him to be a light to those around him for you, that he would glorify you even in the midst of difficulty. We pray the same thing for Anita, and we thank you that she is seeing some improvement after this procedure last week, and we pray that you would arrange things to come together this coming week for this stent to show up in time for this doctor, just to help this timetable keep moving forward. She's been in Rochester for a while. We long to see her to come home and to be able to have rest of being in her own place again, Lord. We thank you for sustaining her in the midst of this. We pray for Ed Tanner in this upcoming appointment to get the help that he needs, Lord. We pray that you might move things to help speed that along some for him. We pray also for Daryl in the pain that he is enduring, that even in the midst of trials and hardships, he would still continue to look to you as his source of strength. We pray that you give all these doctors wisdom as we rely on them to have steady hands and wisdom in these areas, but we also at the same time know that it is you that gives man wisdom. It is you who sustains us. It is you who guides us. We praise you that we can look to you, that you are a God of power and strength, and even in the midst of hardships and difficulties, that we can look to you and know that you are in control, Lord, and that you love us, even in spite of all the dumb things that we do from time to time, Lord, or constantly even. We praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Sing Glorious Day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, grave could not keep him. Rising again, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away.
rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely. Our hope in life and death, Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command? And it will keep us through the end. The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled sea? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. To the grave, what will we say? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Oh, sing, oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope and life and death. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. I know that it Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
I forget to pick that up, so probably good if I had it. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. We'll be looking particularly at verses 12 through 21. One of the challenges in preaching the Old Testament is the Old Testament is primarily narratives, stories, or accounts of people's lives. And for example, when you're dealing with Hezekiah, you'll find his account in three different places in the scripture. So if you're trying to fill in all the details, you're dealing with several chapters in 2 Kings, several chapters in 2 Chronicles, and in the book of Isaiah. It's faded away, huh? Okay, good. And yet, it's good to fill in those little details. And 2 Kings is actually the shortest section of the account. But in reviewing Hezekiah's life, we'd call this series Lessons from a Life Journey. And so it's the life of Hezekiah. We saw his early years when he was walking wholeheartedly in obedience to God, and it brought blessing and allowed him to be a great blessing to others. And we see that pattern throughout the scripture. The people that walk with God, the blessing they brought into his lives, and the blessing they brought to other people. But we've also seen that that does not exempt us from being blindsided by heartaches and troubles that test our faith. But God remains faithful and continues to pour his grace into our lives. And we saw how Hezekiah was healed by the Lord's grace from, he'd been told, put your house in order, you're going to die. And then the Lord allowed him to live and minister another 15 years. You saw him surrounded by the greatest power of their day with no hope of being able to defeat them. And let the Lord intervenes and wipes out 185,000 troops and sends Sennacherib home and all those things. We see the faithfulness of God in working in his life. One other lesson we learn from Hezekiah is how soon we forget God and his goodness to us. I had you read Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Together today to remind us that it's our tendency in life to get comfortable and to forget God. And when life gets difficult, sometimes we want to blame God and we get bitter towards God. And you saw in that proverb the description, you know, don't give me such great wealth that I forget you. Don't make me so poor that I steal and dishonor your name. Allow me to enjoy just the daily blessings of life. And one of the interesting things that you see in Scripture and you observe many times in people's lives, more people lose their way through wealth, power, and comfort than they do through difficult times. As Israel prepared to enter the Promised Land, The Lord warns Israel and their future leaders of the dangers of forgetfulness and pride. And I had us, again, I read to you from Deuteronomy 18, and there's verses surrounding it that was laid out that something Hezekiah would have read and been familiar with as he would have studied and looked at the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children." We see in Israel's history how quickly, as a generation passed, they don't remember anything from the time before, and we assume they still have that background, but they've moved far away from those things. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, "And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God whom you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear." And then in Deuteronomy 8, we read, well, before what we read, it says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you, that he might humble you and test you to know what is in your heart." And then as we read, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full," and in there it describes you end up with houses and herds and flocks and silver and gold, "and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Beware that you say, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.'" And it says, "Remember the Lord, he's the one that's given you the ability to do these things. And if you forget the Lord your God, you shall surely perish." We are very comfortable in America. You don't wonder where your next meal is coming from. You're not worried about getting bombed. Now, those things can happen, but they're rare. But the Lord had prepared Hezekiah and the nation of Israel by giving them verbal warnings. When life gets good and life gets comfortable, what's your response going to be? And not only did Hezekiah have those warnings in Scripture, but he had examples from his own family history. Starting with Solomon. So Solomon was early in his family line. He went from the line of David down through Solomon. And 1 Kings 11 says, "For when Solomon was old, his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord. And the Lord, as a result, said, 'I'm going to tear the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant, but I'll keep one tribe, at least the tribe of Judah will remain in your family line.'" He had a similar pattern with his great-grandfather Uzziah, also called Azariah, and used both of those names. But it starts out in Uzziah's life, it said, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah." As long as the prophet Zechariah was alive, he sought the Lord, his God, and the Lord allowed him to prosper. So he had that accountability. The prophet Zechariah was an important person in Uzziah's life. When he died, seeming he lost his way. And in fact, you read in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15 and following, "His fame spread, for he was marvelously helped, till he was strong. And when he was strong, he became proud to his own destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God." In fact, what King Uzziah did was he took on himself to go into the temple and offer incense that was only the priest's right to do. And when the priest confronted him, he got angry. And the Lord struck him with leprosy. And he ended up having to live in a separate house by himself and never being able to enter the house of the Lord again, even though he was a man who had faithfully served God for years and been a great blessing to his kingdom. Even Hezekiah's own father, Ahaz, was an example in a negative way. He didn't follow God at all. And because he didn't follow God, it says the Lord gave him over to the king of Assyria. They were defeated by them. 120,000 of his soldiers was killed. A son was killed. The nation of Israel, the northern tribes, came in and attacked. Took 200,000 people from his country captive. And yet, by God's grace, he allowed it to return. And it says, the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahab. And when you see early in Hezekiah's ministry, when he puts things in order, part of the reason he does that, he saw what happened in his dad's life when he didn't follow God. And he was committed to not living that way. The Proverbs 30 passage is a little reminder that positions of power and wealth are especially susceptible to forgetting God. There's warnings in the New Testament. One of the warnings when it comes to a pastor that says a pastor isn't somebody who's supposed to be a lover of money, and the pastor is not supposed to be a recent convert. Why not? It says, lest he become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In James 4 and 1 Peter 5, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So he had all those warnings in his background, clear warnings from God's word. He saw the examples in his family's line. But Hezekiah himself fell into that same trap. You find in the accounts here that Hezekiah, after he had been healed and after Sennacherib had been sent away, he became very famous. He became famous because of that miraculous healing. He became famous because of his defeat of Assyria. And that's where you pick up the account really here in 2 Kings 20, verse 12. At that time, the king of Babylon sent Hezekiah letters and gifts because they've heard of Hezekiah's illness. And Hezekiah received the envoys and showed him all that was in his storehouses. The silver, the gold, the spices, the fine olive oil, his armory, everything found in all his treasure. There was nothing in his palace and in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show him. It reminds us, as the Lord's blessings poured out on him, the Lord not only restored his health, but he gave him great wealth and honor. You find a very vivid description of that in 2 Chronicles 32, 27 to 29. And it said, for the Lord had given him very great possessions. And then it goes on to say, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart. So when all those people came and they were telling him how wonderful he was, man, you beat the biggest army in the world and you're restored to health. Do you pick up kind of the background going on in his story? The envoys from Babylon come. They're telling him how great he is. What they really want to do is make an ally out of him so they can help keep Assyria at bay. But in the process, they're praising him. They're giving him gifts. And he's taking it in. And what's he do? He shows off all his stuff. He's proud, man, look at, you know, he took him around to visit all his storehouses. You read in different, he built treasuries, he built storehouses, he built barns, he built all sorts of things. It's a little reminder of that rich man that says, you know, I'm going to build bigger barns and store all these things. And the Lord said to him, you know, this light, your life's going to be taken from you. And it's not going to mean anything to you. It's all going to be gone. Well, you catch it there? He's received them, and he's taken them around to show everything that he has. He was glad to show off. But there's an interesting statement in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. It says that Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. He forgot the Lord, the one who healed him. He forgot the Lord was the one who took away his enemy. He forgot the Lord was the one who blessed him, and he was proudly showing off all he did. In his prayer writing, he I read last week, he talked about, he said, I'm going to walk humbly with his God. I'm going to let my children and grandchildren know about what God has done. And quickly, he kind of, instead of talking about what God did, he's showing off all that he had and all that he had done. And it says that God's anger or judgment was on him and Judah and Jerusalem. How quickly he forgot all that God had done for him. But what's the appropriate response? As you think about all the things God has done in your life, or just so many things that we take for granted as compared to what's around us, what's the appropriate response? I think the first appropriate response is what I call habits of holiness. One of the things that characterized Hezekiah's life, and he returned to it again, is that he says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. He committed himself to obedience to God and to his word. He did that with a consistency of commitment. You know, what you invest your time and talent and resources in gets your attention. There's things that we enjoy in doing, but because we invest ourselves in them, we appreciate them even more. And Hezekiah got distracted in building treasures and storehouses and barns and cities. And in that process, forgot it was all a gift from God's hand. There's an importance of consistency of commitment. Notice anything about our church today? That's a very broad question. We got a new projector up there. That's a good thing, isn't it? See this big empty space here? Who's normally in that space? So the Woolets are off to a family reunion today, by the way. They're not ill or anything else. They're off to a family gathering. But there's consistent commitment. If they're not here, you notice. Because they're committed. That's part of how I walk with the Lord. I'm consistent in my commitment to be in God's house, to be with God's people, in my stewardship of giving and involvement of stewardship in ministry. What you invest your time and resources in becomes a focus of your life. And so it's important when we recognize God's goodness that we're committing ourselves to him in consistent patterns of commitment. The other thing that you see in Hezekiah's life when he responded appropriately was worship or adoration, the reminder, guard your heart. You find in his descriptions often a reminder of who God is. O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. You, O Lord, are God alone. In love you have delivered my life. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. We will play music on stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the house of the Lord. Those are all words from Hezekiah, expressions of his adoration and worship of God and recognizing God's faithfulness in his life. You may want to turn there in the 2 Chronicles 32. It fills in a lot of details in this story that you don't find. It's the place where in verse 25 it says, Hezekiah's heart was proud and he didn't respond to the kindness shown him, and the Lord acted in judgment. I'm glad it doesn't end there. Verse 26 says, then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah humbled himself. He realized he'd gotten out of line. Isaiah had confronted him in the 2 Kings account. After he got done showing up everything, Isaiah shows up and says to him, who were those people that were here? And what all did you show them? Oh, he said, oh, those are people from Babylon. I showed them everything in my house and everything I own and all the greatness of our kingdom. And the Lord says to him, you know, the day is coming. You repented, and it's not going to happen in your lifetime. But the day is coming that everything that you showed them, is they're going to take it away. They're going to take it all to Babylon. In fact, they're not only going to take all that, they're going to take some of your sons, and they're going to take a lot of other things. Because the pride of heart that affects our hearts and lives. Hezekiah says in one of his prayers on Isaiah, I will walk humbly all of my years. In Deuteronomy it says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. We should recognize and appreciate the God-given gifts that we have and use them and be able to do many things with them. But in the process, we need to remember, who is it gave you the ability to do those things? Who allowed you to? You know, it isn't because you're the greatest and most wonderful person in the world, but are you a wise steward of all that God has given you and bestowed upon you, and are you using it in a way that honors and reflects his enablement and gifting in your life? The other part of the story is in the New Testament, you clearly said, God has gifted every one of you, and he intends you to use those gifts for the benefit of others. Don't hoard it. Use it. Recognize it's God's gift to be shared and to be used. The other thing that that repentance did is set an example for his son. One of the sad things in the scripture account of the kings is how many generations they'd walk with God and the next generation would totally walk away from God. And Hezekiah's dad was an ungodly man. And Hezekiah's son was an ungodly son. But when the Lord put Ahaz into some difficult circumstances, well, he put his son into difficult circumstances. Manasseh was his son. Ahaz was his father. It says that he repented. He had seen his father's example. He repented. He changed his life. He was one of the longest living kings and one of the worst kings. But late in life, he repented and he tried to change things. And he brought some blessing. But the consequences still carried on and affected that whole country. But he had learned. And we ought to be able to share and be open to the example of, we need to repent, to ask forgiveness, to restore our relationship with the Lord and with others. And we need to do so in a way that's as public as our problems are. Because other people need to know that they can return to the Lord. And that's one of the things the Lord made very clear to that nation of Israel. In Solomon's prayer and the dedication of the temple, one of the things he goes through is just this reminder how quickly people will move away from God and forget him. But if they'll repent and come back, you are gracious, you'll restore, you'll bless. Third part of that picture that I think is critical is we ought to be characterized by gratitude. Have you nurtured an attitude of thankfulness? It's always interesting. You know, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Who are you giving Thanksgiving to? You know, Thanksgiving was given to thank God for the goodness that he gave to those early pilgrims and their faithfulness. And we sometimes are pretty vague about our gratitude. Recognize and give thanks for God's goodness. Don't be constantly grumbling and complaining. One of the worst things about Israel as a nation, they were constantly murmuring, complaining, grumbling. The Lord would do these miraculous things for them, and the next week, grumble, complain, moan about all the different things, and how quickly we forget. Don't be characterized by the attitude of discontent. And you quickly learn in your own life and life of others, circumstances don't always dictate that. Some people in the most difficult circumstance are appreciative of the little things. And some of the people that have almost everything have a sense of entitlement that do nothing but complain about what they don't have. Hezekiah writes, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. I'm thankful for what you're doing." He said, the living are he that thanks you, just as I am doing this day." We in America live in peace, prosperity, and comfort. There's a danger of a sense of entitlement and complacency, and that danger creeps into our spiritual life, especially if we don't guard our heart. Hezekiah, like many others, became proud, essentially said, "Look at all I've done. Man, I'm famous, and this is great." And it's nice to be praised and appreciated by people, but don't let it turn your head. Don't let it turn your heart. Acknowledge the goodness that God gives. The very things that God has blessed us with can lead us away from wholehearted commitment to Him. I can remember one person in our church family in the past, long enough ago, most of you don't even know who I would be talking about. But we prayed for them for a time to be able to get their own home. They got their own home. You know what happened? They spent all their time taking care of the home and never showed up in God's house anymore. And the sad story is the whole family busted apart a few years later and long gone. It's just that danger that can creep into our lives when we become complacent, especially as believers. We need to recognize what we have is a gift from God to be used for Him. But homes and businesses and God-given abilities and resources can become an end in themselves and cause us to forget God and become spiritually complacent with disastrous results, especially as New Testament believers too. Do you recognize what God saved you from? Do you recognize the level of commitment that God had to you, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the atonement or propitiation for our sins. Never forget what God saved you from through Jesus Christ. Express that in gratitude to God and speak His praises to others. One of the things that Hezekiah committed to in Deuteronomy says, tell your children and tell your children's children. They need to hear about God's faithfulness in your life. They need to hear how God sustained you through some of the difficult and hard things in life. Don't be afraid to put your life out before the Lord, or before people, of how the Lord's faithfulness took you through all the different circumstances of life. Express that gratitude to God and speak His praise to others, especially the next generation. Obey His word. Be consistent in the disciplines of your Christian life. If you're going to guard your heart, you're going to have to spend time in God's word. You're going to have to spend time with other believers. You're going to have to spend time in prayer, in service, and in giving, that are a part of the constant reminder. All these things are a blessing from God, and I need to use them as a wise steward from Him. And lastly, but always very important, always be ready to humble yourself and repent when you realize where sin and pride have caused you to forget the Lord your God and to lose your first love. The Lord criticized the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation by saying, you know, you've lost your first love. I wish you were either hot or cold. This lukewarm, wishy-washy Christianity does nothing. Have a heart for the Lord. Be wholehearted for the Lord. Get back to that point where you're excited about your walk with God and the things that He's doing in your life. And you want to tell others and share it with others and impact them in that way. And that looks very different in different stages of our lives. but the responsibility and the need to do that remains the same. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we tend to live moment to moment, and how quickly we forget all the blessings and goodness that you've poured out in life. And if we just look at the circumstances around us, we'd say, how could you let this happen? Or if God really loved us, he wouldn't let this happen. Yet we are reminded through history, you demonstrated your love once for all through sending your Son as our Savior. May that cause us to always be grateful, cause us to be committed to living and loving obedience and devotion to you. And may you use us as channel of blessing to others as we walk with you in the joy of life's journey, knowing you are ever with us, faithful and unchanging. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together for this last song.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy crown bow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget the dismissed.